Welcome into a fresh weekly episode of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. With me is my fearless co-host, Garrett Thornton of OSN. For those of you who are not familiar with his work, please get out there and find it. It is at www.oregonsportsnews.com. Garrett, thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Casey. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's about a week after the draft, and I'm excited about what the Blazers have done. I'm nervous, but I am nervous and excited, so I'm curious to hear your take on both of those subjects. Let's just dive right into it. Yeah, let's just take your first hot take. You know, after the draft was over and you saw that the Blazers had done, were you happy with what you saw? Were you confused? Were you concerned? Blissful? Where did you stand after the draft?
I mean, after the draft, I didn't fall into the just horror and disappointment that a lot of Blazer Nation did. I think that that was a little bit overblown. What Portland did is they brought in two quality big men. And the more that I've watched film on them afterwards, the more that I've studied their games, I think that they can come in and contribute right away and help Portland grow into the future. I mean, anytime you bring in a lottery pick like Zach Collins, a top 10 guy, you're expecting them to contribute, and you're expecting them to help you on the basketball court right away. I mean, they brought in CJ. Unfortunately, CJ had the foot injuries as a rookie, but they brought in CJ with the number 10 pick, and that's worked out pretty well for them so far. So I'm excited for what the Blazers did, and I think that it's a really good step in the towards the future for this franchise.
Well, not to nitpick, but Myers Leonard was number 11. So, you know, 10 and 11, is that a big difference there? Or do you think that those are about the same pick? Or what are your thoughts on those comparisons?
Well, Neil Shea is good at drafting basketball players. I mean, let's just look. Three picks, Damian, CJ, and Leonard. Three top 11 picks that Olshay did. One of them is an all-star, the other one's a borderline all-star, and the other one's a seven-footer that can shoot threes and I still think can grow and contribute on a basketball court. And so if you're two all-stars in their career out of three lottery picks, you're a pretty dang good drafter. Think about a lot of other teams that are just perpetually in the lottery because they cannot identify those guys. They cannot pick high in the draft. They don't have the scouting departments. They don't have the resources. Neil Shea has shown that he can draft. He can evaluate talent. Paul Allen's invested. They love this time of year. And so I have trust in Olshay and what he can do in the draft more than any other facet of his job. And the more I've looked at Collins, the more I think that he really will fit in with this roster.
Well, and looking back on our talks over the last several months, I know you were high on Gonzaga in March Madness. Has any of that swayed your thinking being a Gonzaga supporter, or is this just you like Collins and you think he's the real deal and he'll be a good fit in Portland with what they bring to the table with McCollum and Lillard and Nurkic and maybe be that power forward they've been missing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that I picked Gonzaga in the tournament, but I'm in no way a Gonzaga fan. I mean, I picked them in the tournament because I thought they were the best team in college basketball this year, only losing a game in the regular season. And I just thought that they were an overall good team. But my affinity and my admiration of Collins' game, I just think he can do a lot of things as a big man in today's NBA. He can stretch out and shoot the three. He didn't do it a lot in college, but he can do it. He shoots very efficiently. He shot from two-point field goals as a freshman. He shot 67%. And so he's not taking stupid shots. When he gets the ball, he's making it count. He's a shot blocker. He averaged over four blocks per 40 minutes in college. Obviously, he didn't get 40 minutes. He was coming off the bench at Gonzaga. But that's another thing that I love about it. His game, his first 3 years in high school as this highly touted recruit, he's coming off the bench behind Chase Jeter and Steven Zimmerman. And so for a guy to accept a role in high school until he's a star as a senior, McDonald's All-American, highly recruited, goes to Gonzaga, and then gets put behind Karnowski, where he's coming off the bench in his role, playing 25 minutes a game, but he excelled at his role. He was the first guy off the bench, and he was dominant when he came in the game. And the Blazers can use a big like that. When's the last time the Blazers had a big coming off the bench that you really had faith in? I can't think of one. It's been a while.
The last guy would probably be Joel Prisbilla like a decade ago, but that was more because they didn't have a ton up front for him to come in and replace. So if you're asking me when the last time a guy was a legitimate starter and we had a legitimate potential starter coming off the bench, I couldn't tell you when that was. It's been too long. Probably Cliff Robinson back in the mid-90s.
Yeah, it's been a while. And so I don't think Collins is going to be a bench player his entire career. But as a rookie, I don't think that he's going to come in and start at power forward right out the gate. He might. He might surprise people in camp and whatever. But I think that he's going to come in as the first big off the bench. And I think with those minutes that he gets, he's going to find a way to be productive. And in today's NBA, where everything's stretched out, Terry Stotts' offense, he loves having four guys around the three-point line. Collins can be a guy at the three-point line, or he can be in the pick and roll. He's athletic enough to get in space a little bit. I like his game. I think he has a well-rounded offensive game, but his defense is also underrated. He's a shot blocker. He had an individual defensive rating of 79.4, which is astronomically low. It's incredible. I just think that he can do a lot of things for the Blazers, and he's only 19 years old. He's got a ton of improvement in the next few years, and his ceiling's really high.
So do you see him and Nurkic eventually taking the floor together and being a Twin Towers feat that we've seen in Portland a few times but not enough? Or is this going to be like the issues that surfaced in Denver when Nurkic and Jokic just struggled to take the floor together and really figure out how to share the court instead of getting in each other's way?
I think they play really different games comparing Jokic and Collins. Jokic likes to have the ball in his hands. He likes to that's why he gets triple doubles. He has the ball in his hands a ton. He's pointing their offense a lot of the time, starting their offense, and Collins isn't that kind of player. Collins is going to play off the ball. He's going to set good screens. He's going to be involved in the offense without having the ball in his hands. And so I think Collins and Nurkic, I think that could be a good pair on the floor that's going to give some mismatches to teams that are trying to play small, that have a 6'8 power forward in the game. And I think Collins is athletic enough to keep his feet in front of him around the perimeter. I don't think that's what you want to do long term, but in some matchups, I think Collins and Nurkic could be really, really good on the court together.
I really hope so. You know, this is a pick that I haven't been shy about saying I wasn't excited about, but I really hope that people like yourself are correct in their assessment of Collins, that he turns into this guy that can come off the bench, be a six-man candidate, and then down the road be the power forward of the future. I'm really hoping this isn't a move by Olshay to have an insurance plan in place for when Nurkic is due a big contract in a couple seasons, but on the other side of that, he's a businessman. He's got to do what's smart for the franchise. So if that is his plan, then kudos to him for thinking long term. If that's not his plan, then I'm curious if he really thinks these two can be on the floor together full time, or if this is a plan for Nurkic to have a steady backup in case he does have some more injury issues.
Yeah, I mean, look, just think of I think we all are reactionary people, and as a GM of a basketball team, Neil Olshay is as reactionary as the rest of us. Think towards the end of last season when Nurkic was hurt, Leonard was hurt, Davis was out. We never saw Azeli on the floor. Vonleh was banged up. We had no bigs out there. The Blazers were starting Myers Leonard with a bum arm and limping around and just not confident in his game. And the Blazers really struggled in that stretch. And so, yeah, I think a lot of the reason that Collins is here is because Neil Olshay is hedging his bets. He says, I've got Damian Lillard. I've got CJ McCollum. They're under contract for 4 years. So I'm going to load up on big men and somebody's going to work. So I like the concept. I like the gamble. We all saw what Nurkic could do in the short stretch he was healthy in Portland. If he can stay healthy for 82 games, Nurkic, Damian, and CJ is a great core. And then adding young guys like Collins and Swanigan, I think that could be a really good combination moving forward.
So let's talk about Swanigan really quick. I don't know if it's Swanigan or Swanigan. I guess you're the resident expert here of the two of us.
It's Swanigan. They talked about that yesterday. So like bird, the Swanigan. So
Swanigan, is he a guy you see coming in off the bench as well? Is he going to have to fight for minutes? Where do you see his role going into the next season?
Going into next season, he's going to really have to fight for minutes. I think Collins is going to have to fight for minutes. I mean, you look at the way that this roster is constructed. As we stand right now, I would say that Nurkic is the starting center and that Vonleh is your starting power forward. Vonleh showed a lot of things after the All-Star break last year that I think that he's earned that. Unless he comes into camp and has a terrible camp.
But and he really paired with Nurkic well.
Yeah, they played really well together. And so I would say that those are your starters. But then after that, you've got Ed Davis, who's going to be healthy by camp. Neil Olshey said that yesterday. Myers Leonard, who said that he's healthy. You're going to have Al-Farouq Aminu, who's been playing the four. So you're loaded with those front court type players. So where do these rookies find playing time? I think Collins, with a number 10 pick, I think that shows you that they have plans for Collins. But with the 26th pick in the draft, he's under a four-year contract. I wouldn't be surprised if Swanigan is one of those end-of-the-bench guys, maybe has some D-League stints. I mean, a lot could change in the next couple weeks, too. They could trade away Ed Davis. They could trade away Myers Leonard. A lot can happen, but as the roster stands right now, both of these rookies are really going to have to fight for playing time, and in my opinion, especially Swanigan.
Well, and Collins, Olshey actually commented on his issue he's going to have going forward to crack the top nine of the roster and how deep this rotation is. And I think there's something to that we know that Stotts likes to use certain rotations in certain games, but most of the season he likes to keep a steady like 7 or 8 man rotation. So for Collins to come in right away off the bench, I'm not sure how feasible that is. You remember CJ McCollum's first or second year, he saw very limited action, and a lot of people were kind of curious what kind of a player he was going to become. It wasn't until about halfway through or three quarters of the way through his second year that he really started to shine and become the player we know to be now. And we saw a little bit of that from Leonard as well, and then we just kind of saw a little bit more from McCollum, and Leonard has had some struggles and been injury prone a little bit. But if Collins can stay healthy and be the rim protector and be Robin to Nurkic's Batman, I think this could work, and this could be a really steady defensive team, especially if Aminu can start at three once Collins shifts into the four. You could have a really good defensive lineup.
Yeah, I agree. I think you could. I do think that there are going to be moves in the front court. And so I think some of these rotation type issues are going to be cleared up in the next couple weeks. And if they're not cleared up, if nothing changes, then we see that there's going to be some competition in that front court, which is exciting and which makes people better. And I think the cream will rise to the top, and this coaching staff will know who to play. And I think it'll be nice to have that depth in the front court again, where we've got healthy bodies and not rolling out anybody that's over 6'8" that has a pulse kind of thing. So I think it's good for this franchise. I think having these guys under contract for 4 years gives you the ability to not have to rush into playing a 19 or 20 year old that isn't quite ready for the NBA stage, but I think their futures are bright, both of them.
Well, and we can only hope for the best in that regard. I mean, nobody's going to cheer against them to do poorly. We only want to see them do well. So I'll definitely, you know, yeah, I really hope I'm wrong about Collins. I've told you that personally. I've told a lot of people that I hope that he proves me dead wrong, that I'm apologizing to him face to face someday for you know, having an outburst really about them trading up to draft him. So,
yeah, I mean, when it happened, I was a little not hesitant, but I wasn't like jumping up and down like, yeah, we got Zach Collins. But the more that I've watched him the last week, the more I really like what he brings. He does everything on the basketball court. Everybody's one complaint of Collins is that he fouls a lot. He fouled out in the Final Four, like everyone saw on the national stage. He fouls a lot. And so with that, you see how aggressive he is as a player, which is a good attribute, but it's also something a lot of rookies get in foul trouble. A lot of rookies need to learn how to handle themselves on the defensive end of the floor. And so I think that's something that he's going to have to watch out for. We still see Myers Leonard at times can come in the game and get two fouls in a short stretch. And so Collins is going to be the same thing for a while, but I just think how effective he is at shooting the ball and how good he can be at the defensive end, especially if he continues to fill into his frame, I think that it's going to be really fun to watch him.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes along the road. And, you know, I'm hoping that he has a great season. But let's talk a little bit more about the other prospects. And one of the reasons I wasn't super excited about the Collins trade right out of the gate is the options it gave away, in that, you know, we had to give two picks to Sacramento to get one. And I wasn't thrilled with that. I get the move from both a business and a fan and a GM perspective. But at the end of the day, you know, Justin Jackson might have been a nice piece to put at the three. Or, you know, you've also got Jordan Bell, who you could have drafted later. And then Harry Giles, who I think you were pretty high on, who the Kings drafted at 20. And he's kind of a guy that no one really knows what to expect. He could be the next LeBron James, he could be the next nobody, he could be somewhere in between. We're not really sure what to think of him. He had some knee issues in his only year in college, so we don't have a ton to go on. But are you happy with what Portland did with swinging the trade, giving up 15 and 20 for one at 10, or would you rather they had kept one of those? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the Blazers weren't going to bring in three rookies. They've already got a roster that's full. Right now, they have 16 players, and they can only have 15 on a roster. And so they weren't going to bring in three rookies. So I figure that they would trade one of them away, whether they packaged a pick with a player to get rid of some contract money, whether they traded a pick for a future pick. They were going to trade a pick away. They weren't going to bring in three rookies. And so to move up in the draft is what I have been writing about since January, is the Blazers have multiple picks, package them, move up in the draft. Because where you find the all-stars of the draft is usually towards the top. And everybody said this draft is 10 players deep and then pretty good after that. But those first 10 players are really good. And so the Blazers found a way to get up there. With those other guys, Justin Jackson, I really liked. I wrote a scouting report on him on Oregon Sports News before the draft. The reports after he came and worked out for Portland weren't great, that the front office wasn't blown away like they hoped to be. He's a kid whose shot really improved every year in college. He's a leader, but in today's day and age, teams like drafting 18 and 20 year olds, and Jackson's 21, which to you and I is silly, but to people that work in the industry, that year's a big deal for them. Giles, like you said, who knows what's going on with his knees. I believe he's had three knee surgeries now. And I did a scouting report on him also on Oregon Sports News. I really like his game. A lot of people say that at the 20th pick, the Kings got the steal of the draft, but who knows where he's at health wise, if he'll ever be healthy. But I just, with Portland's injury issues, I couldn't really see them bringing a guy like that in here. Same with OG Anunoby, who went to the Raptors at 23. I really liked him. He's a great defensive player, but he has an ACL injury. He won't be back to basketball until probably December or January. So I didn't see the Blazers bringing him in either. So overall, I'm really pleased with what the Blazers did. I think the moves all make sense. like analytically and numbers on paper, they've got 16 roster spots full when they only have 15 available. So I didn't see them bringing in a third rookie, but I like what they did. Only time can tell. I mean, 4 or 5 years down the road, Justin Jackson or Harry Giles might be an all-star and the Blazers might be kicking themselves, but they have who they have and they're moving forward. I think it's going to be interesting to see though.
So one more shot in the dark before we move on to our next topic, but would you like to see Jordan Bell on this roster in place of Swanigan, or would you rather see Swanigan here?
I think I was watching Twitter as that pick came through and everybody thought it was going to be Jordan Bell and everybody was really, really disappointed when it wasn't, which I thought was a little bit much. Caleb Swanigan was the Big Ten Player of the Year. He
almost National Player of the Year.
Led the nation in rebounding. Like, he had a dominant season. He was an All-American. And yes, Jordan Bell was good. He was the Defensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12. They went to the Final Four. He had a great tournament. But I think that had Jordan Bell gone 27, it might have been a little different for me. But he went like about 10 picks later to Golden State, who really liked him. But I just – Caleb Swanigan and Jordan Bell are two completely different players. Swanigan has – an offensive game that is much, 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 much more polished than Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell's a right-handed shooter that shoots the ball from the left side of his head, where Swanigan shot over 40% from three. And so they're just at different stages of their development of their game. And I think that Swanigan brings more to the Blazers day one than Jordan Bell would, especially offensively. And I think Swanigan has the higher ceiling of the two.
All right, well, let's move on to NBA free agency, which is firing off this week. Who on the Blazers do you feel is expendable now that free agency is right around the corner? And you mentioned that we have quite a few guys in the front court now after really searching for guys last year, especially after Nurkic went down. There are a couple of games we had to start Noah Vonleh at center, which was not anyone's ideal scenario. Is there anybody on the roster now that you think Olshay will look to cut first or to swap for picks first? Or is there anybody that you would look at as they're the weak link and they're going to be the first to go?
Well, yesterday when the Blazers introduced the rookies, Neil Olshay was very forthright when he said, this roster is always in flux. We're always looking for ways to improve this roster. Until October when camp starts, we're always looking for trades. We're all like, and he was very adamant that this is a roster that is going to change or can change. And so I think when you look at the roster, there's obviously people positions that are overlapped that have, I mean, the power forward position, I think Myers Leonard's a power forward, not a center. And so at the power forward position, you have Myers Leonard, Noah Vonleh, Ed Davis, Caleb Swanigan, probably Zach Collins. You're loaded at power forward. You need to move a couple of those. The problem is, this isn't the NFL where you cut a player and walk away. These are guaranteed contracts with big numbers attached to them. Myers Leonard is making almost $10 million next season. And so the question is, who wants that contract? Who values Myers Leonard? Who will give you a second round pick next year for Myers Leonard? And so I think that more than likely it's going to be some of the smaller contract numbers. Ed Davis has 2 years, $7 million a year left on his contract. Al-Farouq Aminu, somewhere around that same range, 2 years, $7.5 million or so. Myers Leonard has 3 years, and this year he's going to make $9.9 million. And so I think that more than likely you're going to see some of those more team-friendly deals, Al-Farouq Aminu, Ed Davis. You're going to see some of those deals dealt before the Myers Leonard, Evan Turner, Allen Krabs that a lot of the fans want to deal because they're such a big number.
Well, and I think Mo Harkless and Noah Vonleh will probably be the easiest to trade away, mostly because they have contracts that are reasonable and they're also very young and – still raw in a lot of people's eyes. They don't know what to expect yet. So you could have some teams that really like what they see, and you have other teams that really don't know what they're looking at. And the team, and both of those could be really interested.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I would be shocked if Noah was moved. This is the last year of his rookie contract. And so as an organization, I think that the Blazers would be pretty crazy to move that, especially in such a tight financial position that this franchise is in. And so I think Noah is one of the least likely players to be moved on this team, right next to Damian and CJ. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that they value him a little higher than the rest of Blazer Nation does. But I do think Maurice Harkless is somebody that's likely to move, because there's a lot of talk out there. The Knicks were interested. Supposedly the Orlando Magic were interested, who traded him to us a couple years ago. So I think that the market for Mo might be a little bit bigger than some of those other guys.
I don't know if it'll be to the level of Batum, because Batum was kind of getting a mythological following in the NBA, where every team came calling looking for a trade option for him. I don't know if Harkless will get to that level, but he's definitely got that potential where no one really knows what his offensive ceiling is. They've seen his defensive rating and they love it, and they know he'll only get better. I think they look at a guy like a Draymond Green or a Kawhi Leonard and think he could be that someday. And I'm not sure that's accurate, but it seems to be teams are looking for projects and thinking, you know, we want to roll the dice now before we end up getting bit by not rolling the dice.
Yeah, and he's been very good for this team. He's done a lot of good things in a lot of spots, and he's only 20. He just turned 24 years old, so he's not yet in his prime. So I personally think that Mo Harkless, looking at this roster right now, I would say that he starts the season as the starting small forward. And so I think that he definitely has there's a market for him out there, but I don't think Portland's going to give him away like they would some of the other bigger contracts.
Well, speaking of giving away bigger contracts, let's move on to the rest of the league. Let's say around the association and free agency. Portland is about $14 million over the salary cap, which came in lower than expected due to some pretty lousy playoff television ratings, because the playoffs kind of stunk. What do you see Portland doing in free agency? Are they just going to shed contracts to get under the luxury tax, or are they going to actually pursue some players like a Gordon Hayward or a Serge Ibaka, or, you know, the big payday would be Blake Griffin, maybe even swing a trade for LaMarcus Aldridge? What do you see them doing?
My column today on Oregon Sports News is my free agency primer, and it's not very fan friendly, let's just put it that way. A lot of people have not been happy with it so far today, because you said we're 14 million over the salary cap. We're 14 million over the luxury tax.
That's even
and
better.
So the Blazers, the salary cap is $99 million this season. The Blazers' top five contracts are Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Allen Crabbe, Evan Turner, and Myers Leonard. And those five contracts add up to just under $96 million. And so that's five guys on the roster that are just $3 million less than the salary cap. Out of those five guys, let's just talk about Allen Crabbe, Evan Turner, Myers Leonard. They started 31 games last year. And so you've got $45 million tied up in three guys that started 31 games for your team. And so the Blazers, when people talk about being cash strapped, the Blazers have zero money going into free agency. And so in my column, I say option one would be shed salary. So just trade people for nothing. Try and get rid of a Myers Leonard and Allen Crabbe and Evan Turner, one of the big money contracts. I don't think that that's very likely. So
it's not likely. You do see that, though, where you'll see trades in the NBA that are linked as cash considerations is what you'll see.
Yeah, and like last week when the Lakers traded Timofey Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell for Brook Lopez and a pick. That was to get rid of Mozgov's contract. Like, that's what they had to do to get rid of that big cap hit. So my next option is be creative, which we've all seen Neil Shea do. He traded for Mo Harkless, and the pick that he traded for Mo Harkless was a second round pick that was protected except from 55 to 60. And so basically that pick was never going to materialize. So he got Mo Harkless for nothing. And so Neil Shea, he's got to get creative, and that's what he's good at. That's what we've seen him do. And then my third option, which is kind of bug some people, is do absolutely nothing. Just go into the season with the roster the way it is and hope for some organic growth. Hope that these rookies can come in and help. Hope that Nurkic is healthy and see what this team can do. They won 41 games last year with a healthy Nurkic all season. I think that this is a 50-win team without doing anything else this offseason. And so I would not be shocked if this team kind of sat on their hands and didn't do much over the next couple weeks, which would not be a very popular thing in Portland.
Popularity aside, which of those three options do you want to see the team do?
I love this time of year. I love trades. I love movement. I'm a fan, but I'm also not super attached to any player at any time. I try and stay pretty unbiased in that way, but
sure.
So I wouldn't be too sad to see any of these players leave. Obviously, they're not going to trade Damian and CJ and Nurkic, but aside from that, anyone else I think should be on the table, depending on what comes from someone else. But I think that they're going to the one tool the Blazers do have is the taxpayer mid-level exception. And so they can offer a contract just over $5 million, $5.192 million to somebody to bring in on a free agent contract. But the problem is that teams that aren't paying the tax, which there's much more teams that aren't paying the tax than that are, they can offer a mid-level exception of $8.4 million. And so the Blazers aren't really going to be spenders and aren't going to really attract people here with their money. And so they're just going to have to target somebody with that contract that they think can come in and help this team. And so I know you talked about Blake Griffin, Gordon Hayward, those big name guys, but the two guys that I have on my radar for the Blazers are CJ Miles and Thabo Sefolosha. And I know that those two names aren't going to do a whole lot for many fans, but I think that the small forward position, shooting guard position is a position of need. I think Thabo Sefolosha could come in and be a wing defender. When you play Golden State, somehow you've got to guard Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant all around the outside. So,
well, how many times did Tony Allen help teams in the playoffs for that exact reason?
Exactly. And so I think if you could bring in Thabo Sefolosha on a mid-level exception, I think that that would be a great move. Last year, he was making about just at $4 million. So I think that for five and change, I think that you could bring him in. And CJ Miles is one of my favorite role players in the whole league. He shoots over 40% from three, scores 10 points a game. Last year he played 23 minutes. That's the type of role player that the Blazers need. And he made 4.5 last year. So we don't know what this market's going to do. This market might just have asinine numbers and the Blazers can't afford anybody. I mean, look at the market last year. Allen Crabbe got $17 million a year. Who would have thought that a year and a half ago? So I don't know what the market's going to look like, but those are the two names that I've been focused on lately, as Thabo Sefolosha and CJ Miles. I think that those are two guys that the Blazers could target over the next couple weeks.
And I really think they need to target somebody. I'm not sure they can stand pat and do any better than they did last year, even if Nurkic is healthy for even three quarters of a season. But if they can just go get some more depth, because I think that was what we really saw in the playoffs the last couple of years, that the depth behind both the forward positions and at least shooting guard, it's just not there. So if they can go get somebody like a CJ Miles that can help out there, and a Thabo Sefolosha that can provide some veteran perimeter defense, you know, he's not Shane Battier, but he's pretty darn close when it comes to playing defense, and he's got a pretty decent shot. So, you know, he's got some years on him, but he had some really good years in Oklahoma City, and so he knows how to defend Western Conference guards and forwards. So he would definitely be a good fit here if he was willing to come. And with those names, you know, maybe other guys will want to come here. I know Portland has been kind of the big no-no and taboo in terms of players coming and signing big-time contracts, but for the average veteran role player, this is kind of a haven for those guys because they know they come here and play quality minutes on a team that cares about its players. So we'll kind of see what free agency does for them.
Yeah, I mean, the only option that they really would have to get any of those guys is just some kind of sign and trade, which can be complicated and a little bit of drama when it comes to the free agency period. But honestly, the only money that this team has is that mid-level exception. And so unless they can tempt somebody to come for that $5.5 million or whatever it is, that I just, it's going to be a tough sell. And so I think that most of the movement in free agency won't be through free agency. I think it'll be through trades. So I think that's something to keep an eye on.
All right, we are way past the 30-minute mark, so we need to get going. But I'm just going to ask you a couple quick lightning round questions. And you just answer the first thing that comes to your mind, and then we got to sign off. You ready?
All right.
Okay. Gun to your head, you're trading Zach Collins straight up for LaMarcus Aldridge. Do you do it?
I would do it. Yes, on the basketball court, I would do it, but in the locker room, I think I'd rather have Collins.
Okay. You can pick one. You get to sign him for 1 year, and you don't have to give up any of your current players, but you won't have a draft pick the next 2 years. You can have Paul George, Blake Griffin, or Gordon Hayward for 1 year. Which of those three do you pick, and you have to pick one?
Paul George.
All right. Well, Garrett, it's been an absolute pleasure talking sports to you yet again. I know we missed you the last few weeks, but honestly, so did the audience, and we're definitely glad to have you back on. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a whirlwind 30 minutes.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. We definitely need to talk some NFL football here pretty soon, too. We'll have to have you on and a couple other guys.
Sounds good. I'll be ready for it.
Yeah, we look forward to chatting with you about that. And, you know, it'll be fun to see my Green Bay Packers take on your Dallas Cowboys this year, hopefully with the rights to the Super Bowl on the line.
Yeah, hopefully NFC Championship game.
I hope so. Hosting Green Bay, hopefully. So, Garrett, thank you again. And thank you so much to the band Liebecker for providing music for the show. Great band from the Great Northwest. If you haven't, please check them out at www.liebeckermusic.com. This has been Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. Thank you for listening, and have a great weekend.